Good morning. My name is Megan Cook. I am the Director of Content Strategy for Novel, and I'll be speaking today. For those of you who don't know us, I'll speak a little bit about who we are and what we do. I will also talk about our business model and the way we've found success and some of the challenges and some of the novel ways in which we've really tried to measure impact and then really meet our renewal rate, which we're very proud of. And the business models that we are starting to experiment with and the way we see growth happening year over year. So this is us. This is our vision. We strive to be the first place engineers go to find to solve problems. And we've been around for 10 years now. And this is what we strive for, and this is how we really see the world. We work with engineers to make a better product. Everything we do in our product development, in our content selection, is done hand in hand with engineers because, as we've heard, their biggest, maybe not their biggest, they're a large time suck, a large time vacuum for them is finding information and integrating it into that final work product, whether it is that client design memo, whether it is just finding that answer to a client that they delivered via email, or whether it's that final design spec. So they spend up to 25% of their business week looking for information, and we found that over the years, engineers lessen that amount by using Novel. And we have also some statistics based on a survey that we did with ASME and AICAG members. For those of you not in the AS in the engineering space, that's the American Society for Mechanical Engineering and the American Institute for Chemical Engineers. So we see ourselves as a solution provider. We do this by bringing together three elements. We are a web-based application. You can find us at www.novel.com. And we integrate technical information. We source content from 70 publishers, societies, and industry associations, including some of whom are represented in this room. So we bring together that validated content. We optimize search for engineers such that we can pick up information in data tables, in captions, things that are not discoverable otherwise. And we have data analysis tools on the website which allow engineers to solve those problems, to plot the point on the graph, to find the right vapor pressure, to bring together properties for specific materials, such as a steel or a polymer, and use that in product design. Our goal is to drive innovation within these companies, the customer companies, and really deliver answers that can be put into the workflow, answers that the engineer can trust. So after 10 years, we have a distinguished customer list. They include over 300 institutional and government customers. And by institutional, I mean a range of corporations, both in the United States and outside the United States. Over 300 universities, including 12 of the 15 U.S. engineering schools, rated by, I think, U.S. World and News Report. And again, that renewal rate that I talked about, which is over 90%. Within specific industries, I'll also mention that in the engineering, design, and construction firm, we have 7 out of 10 of the most successful engineering design firms as customers, and 6 out of 10 of the largest integrated oil and gas companies as customers. So a lot of our growth does come from the domestic corporate space. But we start the engineers off early in their life cycle, working with us in the university space as students. We sell subscription access to the application, and we tend to divide it up in content areas, in topic areas. So we have 25, soon to be 26, subject areas. And we're known for bringing together the best content, the biggest brands, the most useful content for solving problems in those topic areas. We have a small number of premium offerings that are too niche that they would be relevant to people owning the subject areas, or they are, I will say, things that people will say pay separately for as a premium content bundles, and we sell those in any combination, and we sell the entire areas together. Traditionally, and I think a lot of people in this room have encountered that the renewal decisions are based on usage data and the added value to the subscription that we add year over year. What have you done for me lately? What functionality have you added? What content have you added? How has the content grown and how is it more relevant? What we are doing now and what we'll continue to do is we're really trying to measure impact to the workflow more than just usage. So not usage, but utility to the engineers. And this is a huge point of pain for our purchasers, you know, that person that you're visiting in the field, because the audience that they're serving with this application is fragmented. They're all over the world. The research lab is in China, or the engineering lab is in India or Santiago or what have you. The benefits of a subscription model to customers like this is that they can outsource part of their collection development. More and more, though, we've really saturated the corporations and a lot of the academic institutions where there is a library and purchaser, and so we end up going now to the engineering executive as we're going deeper and deeper into specific industries. And they want, rather than a collection, let's say, they want a just-in-time resource for an answer at any time of the day or night, and they want a way for the engineers on their staff to continue to develop professionally. And to continue to expand their knowledge of certain areas, and specifically as about so they can understand new certifications that are coming up. And because they do get reassigned so frequently, they can get up to speed very quickly on a new project. And of course, the 24/7 access that the web provides. Since I am in a room with publishers, I'll mention that we do license content from publishers and societies, providing recurring revenue, and also making sure that your content is really impactful to an engineer's workflow. The last thing I'll mention is that we're also doing a lot of co-marketing now, including webinars. So the authors of your titles are actually speaking to the engineers that use our product to increase usage on the site if they're a customer, and also get their name out. And they, publishers that we've spoken to appreciate that, the increase in print sales that they've seen from that. The subscription model, of course, requires a lot of interaction with that customer, and beginning not just at the beginning of meeting them, but also after the subscription comes up, we do training. We do training in person. We do training around the country and around the world. We do it in person. We do it via WebEx. And we have engineers who are giving the trainings and are really modeling it after problems that we have solved that with our resource year over year. We also have a customer relations team. Our sales team is really divided up into frontline and customer relations. And a customer relations team is really charged with making sure that the content is getting to the right people, they have the opportunity to use the product, and that they are aware of the new features as they roll out. And our marketing team really works hand in hand with the purchasers to make sure that this fragmented audience, this customer base, is also, this potential user base, is made aware of the product. You know, the worst thing you can hear, and if you have a subscription product, you know, maybe you've heard this, is that, oh, I didn't know we had access to Novel. And actually, one of the funniest focus group feedback lines I heard was that people are disappointed when they realize so much later that they had access to Novel. They say it's like the V8 commercial. You know, I could have had a V8. I could have used Novel. So a lot of what we're doing is constantly touching, constantly speaking to customers about what they're able to do with the product. As I started to talk about, we're really moving from measuring usage to measuring utility to measuring impact, or ROI, on a subscription product like Novel. This is step one to what we've been trying to do, which is be seen less like a content provider and more as a solution provider. So one thing we do, because our audience is fragmented, we actually put the renewal decision as much as possible into the hands of the engineers. So many times the purchaser is not someone who would go to the product in a typical day. And so we survey within the product the engineers who may use the product and ask them, do you recommend that your corporation or your institution renews the subscription? And it works. The purchaser feels empowered to really make that decision based on information based beyond a title visit or any sort of count, article count like that, that they're getting an idea of how the availability of this resource is really impacting the user workflow. So some of these are quotes that we've actually gotten, as well as renewal surveys. Of course, we try to give them the chance to talk to us, so we let them write in comments. And so they talk to us about how an analysis done. They avoid what could have been a costly problem. The next thing we've begun to do is, I don't know if anyone has heard of this, it's called Net Promoter Score. Basically, just walk through the methodology very quickly. It's based on, I believe, a Harvard Business Review article. I'm happy to send that to anybody who emails it to me, or not send it to you. We believe in copyrighted novel. I will give you that information about that article. So the methodology is that we randomly survey people that come into the website. In an unauthenticated session, we ask them, would you complete a survey? At the end of the session, we ask them, would you recommend use of this novel? And it's used in a lot of high growth companies such as Enterprise, such as eBay, to really find out, you know, because the best way to actually get your product used is perhaps someone say, you need to use this product. And so it's interesting, on a score of 1 to 10, they're asked if you would recommend novel to a friend or colleague. And you can see that really just the 9s or 10s count. 7 or 8, I think I've given a lot of services 7 or 8 over the years. But that's not good enough. Those people are just seen as passively satisfied or neutral. You throw those numbers out. And then detractors is 6 through 0. So we're taking that number in order to show to a purchaser who may not have had contact with the engineer that's using our service, this is what they think. And of course, it's a conversation that you want to have before renewal time, judging from the numbers, but it's also a jumping off point for what can we do to make the product better? Why do they not know how to do this? Perhaps we should do training. Perhaps we can do something to make it more accessible, to make it more useful. And also add better content or different functionality in order to make it more must-have. And so we started sharing this with customers. We've been doing this over a year. We get about 2,000 to 3,000 filled-out surveys a month. And it is now becoming the number that all novel employees are judged against, because we all have an impact on that number. In addition to the revenue number, which, you know, also very important. I wanted to stop and take a moment and give you the novel view, how we view the world. Because we've talked about the subscription model and how we really believe in measuring impact. We see ourselves as a solution, as much as possible, where we want to get to is a solution provider. So here, sort of an eye chart, I apologize. We have the segments along the left-hand side. There's the B2B professional information services, and we're up there in the left-hand corner. We provide a subscription business to the enterprise. There's B2B software, B2C information services, B2C software, and then at the bottom, what our management calls Valhalla, you know, where we want to get to, which is an integrated content and technology to provide a solution at any time to any engineer. Okay, you see the colors now. The green, these seem to be the proven business models where there is a lot of growth happening. And, you know, these include software as a service models, subscription for professional betterment, anything like Safari, which I know has a big individual base. There's also the yellow ones. And the yellow ones we characterize as things that are still yet to be proven. In the middle, you notice that the New York Times recently came out with a paywall. It's going to be interesting to see how that really makes money for the business. Too soon to tell. Or something that would just provide value in a niche use case. So we're not sure we see a lot of growth in that area. And, you know, in that category, I would pair fee for service. We know that there's a lot of information service providers that are offering ways to allow you to search or make available the information you subscribe to in other places, or allow you to load your own information somewhere where you can always get to it in an institution model. We haven't seen a lot of growth yet. We're keeping an eye on it. And the other yellow area that we look at is the freemium subscription model. Evernote is a good example of this. It's in the software industry, but it has 8 million users. It allows you to keep track of all the little doodles that you make during conferences like this, those great ideas that you may have come up with during someone's session. It only has, I think, over 300,000 paying subscribers, but these are the things that we sort of keep an eye on because we're interested in that risk-taking, you know, such as Kevin was talking about. We're interested in seeing, you know, which parts of these emerge. The places where we see flat growth or we don't see huge changes are the red areas, and so we tend to stay away from those. But down at the bottom, again, the area that we want to get to is to really seamlessly integrate software as well as content in order to really provide answers many times over time. As we talk about where we're going, we have a lot of challenges, but we also have a lot of plans that really will, number one, allow us to play in this field. Because as you look at the premium field, one of the things that drives our marketing VP crazy is the number of people that come to the website and then walk away without having found an answer and without having had a really poor experience because they couldn't get to the content that they wanted. And we're talking about putting tools on the outside that make them feel like they got something out of the experience and to keep the conversation going with them. The other thing that we're planning to do is to continue to roll out additional tools over time, and particularly the ability to quickly put together equations and come up with answers. But this is all part of that larger migration that I'm talking about from information service to solution. As we look at what our customers find really compelling about us, a lot of the content that we make available is in other places. And we understand as publishers, you know, that's something that you do, but this means that the content that you make available is being commoditized fairly quickly. And so that's another reason why this integration is so important for us, and we'll continue to develop tools as quickly as possible. We do this by talking to engineers. We have focus groups. We also have design sessions where we stand behind them, not in a creepy way, and watch them work, make observations, and come up with design ideas that become the features in the coming years. And we'll continue to do that. We'll also continue to develop ways to really show impact, to show ROI, so that our customers feel comfortable asking for those resources, and it's a quick solution. That novel is mission critical. And then the other thing I want to mention is that we are continuing to work. We're developing an API this year because the other thing that has become fairly obvious is that it's really requested that we become integrated with everything else that they work with. SharePoint, Documentum, that we really make sure that when people search for the information that's accessible to them, it's the information that's also available in their company. And the best way to do that is to integrate with the other resources that their IT firm is investing in. Our goals are really to continue to take risks, continue to try new things, but protecting our core business. We have six-figure subscriptions in the corporate market that we want to see stay here. So we won't do something that is completely, that will cannibalize that. And again, become that solution provider such as that it is easy to make that ROI decision. Thank you.